Well, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, however you want to look at it. I'm Scott Beatty, and Marcus Jackson is right here as well, and we have sports talk for you till 6 o'clock. We're glad you're along tonight. We're a couple days away now from Illinois' second football game of the year, just over 48 hours away. A Saturday night kick under the lights at Memorial Stadium, which would be, according to our sports talk poll tonight, the second most preferred time for football.
2:30
is your lead. Yep, more than half of you at WDWS 1400 weighed in and said, yep, Saturdays at 2:30 is my preferred time. 17% Friday or Saturday at 11 a.m. Zero say Friday evening.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Friday night games either, especially in this area where there's so much high school football going on and so many games to choose from. And it takes away from those crowds, or it at least makes people choose. And I think some people might choose their high school over going to an Illinois game.
I could see that happening, especially if you've got friends or young ones that are playing in it. I think your loyalties would probably go there first. But we'll see, because the Illini will have a home football game 3 weeks from tonight, or I'm sorry, 3 weeks from tomorrow night when they open up the Big Ten season against Nebraska. Now, normally we'd delve into a little bit more of Illinois football tomorrow, but we're going to bump that up to today. Bob Osmussen will be along after a while to help us get ready for Illinois and Western Kentucky.
I'm leaving then. I don't want to be around Bob.
He's gone. Tomorrow we have a bit of a special sports talk. We'll be at Huff Hall tomorrow night. You get ready for the season opener for Illinois volleyball, which has many layers of intensity to it and emotion, because Illinois facing Stanford, the defending national champion, and their former head coach, Kevin Hambley, in his return.
I see Stanford's already in town. I saw an Instagram post of that meant practicing in Huff Hall, so I'm sure it's kind of a unique and strange weekend for Kevin Hambley, Mary Hambley, too, who's on his staff at Stanford as well. So really, really exciting, though, that the home opener this year is against the former coach. And this was obviously lined up before, you know, Hambley left to take the job at Stanford with the Big Ten Pac-12 challenge. But still, I'd imagine a great crowd for that and some really, really good volleyball this weekend.
Well, Kevin Hambley, when he is introduced in the gym, deserves a standing ovation. I hope he gets one. He will be with us tomorrow night. He will visit. He's offered to be gracious with his time, as has current head coach Chris Thomas will be on the program tomorrow night. And also Don Harden, former coach that preceded Kevin Hambley. So if you've been a head coach of Illinois volleyball, there's a decent chance that we'll talk to you tomorrow night.
That's quite the lineup there, and you can do a lot of great things with a lot of those great coaches. But again, getting back to the volleyball, I think the combined records of the teams playing this weekend, the four teams, 22-1.
Colorado and Penn State are also in town.
Right. But no, I think that, yeah, included with them. But I think the one loss, too, is I think Stanford and Penn State have already played.
Mm-hmm.
And Stanford beat Penn State. I think that's the one loss of the teams playing here this weekend. So pretty good stuff.
And it'll be a big test for Illinois volleyball, too, trying to prove that 6-0 is no fluke. Some of the other headlines, Major League Baseball tonight. Cardinals looking to sweep of San Diego on the West Coast. They are right in it in the wild card race, 2 games behind Colorado and 4 behind the Cubs in the NL Central. Cubs are taking on Pittsburgh. John Lester is making his second start. And the White Sox hosting Cleveland. Cleveland could win their 15th straight game, when that would be a franchise record. And you're just saying,
go Cleveland.
What is it for beer?
Tank for beer.
Tank for beer.
Yeah, and then we have burgers and beer.
Yep.
Or a burger and beer.
That's right, for the prospect named Beer. U.S. Open tennis tonight on the women's side features an All-American Final Four. Venus Williams against Sloane Stephens. Madison Keys against Coco Vandeweghe. That's number 15 versus number 20. And, of course, tomorrow night on the men's side, Kevin Anderson, former U of I All-American, will be in it. We are going to talk momentarily with Brad Dancer, Illinois men's tennis coach, who coached Kevin and was out there to watch him in his quarterfinal victory. So we'll get the scoop from Brad in just a moment. The NFL gets going tonight, Marcus. He added the Patriots and the Kansas City Chiefs. You going to be watching?
I won't be. Speaking to some kids right after this. And then I'm going to be on the road after that. So.
Speaking of some kids.
Yeah, at Barkstall.
Oh, cool.
With Carol Varell.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Mike Hale set this up for
okay.
us. Yeah, so he's obviously a big Chiefs fan, as you know, and so he's going to be missed at the beginning of the game, but I told him we'd make it worth his while.
Okay. Very cool. Well, I hope you are able to enlighten and not corrupt any of the young ones.
Inspire is what we aim to do.
I've got a few friends that have got kids over there, so maybe I'll be looking for a report.
All right, there you go.
Okay.
Hope it's a good one.
Illinois basketball, along with the Big Ten, announced their schedule for, well, the dates have already been known, but most of the tip times now are in place. And you can head to IlliniHQ.com for a look there. First one of the year, November 10th against Southern. It's a 7 p.m. tip. The only to-be-determined times at this point are the game against Wake Forest on November 28th, the UNLV game out in Las Vegas on December 9th, and the Gavitt game back on November 17th, which is against DePaul at home as well. So this is just three games where they don't know the times. But other than that, everything is set in place. Obviously, you know, not the home schedule you'd like in terms of attractive opponents in your non-conference home schedule. But that's kind of, I've looked around. I don't see a lot of other teams scheduling marquee home opponents in non-conference schedules.
Yeah, that's the way it is.
Other than the Big Ten ACC Challenge.
Right, that's the way it is. And we've talked about this a little bit, that teams just don't want to go on the road in the non-conference. They want to, you know, pile up wins and rack those up as best they can and put themselves in position to make the NCAA tournament. But I think that's the reason why you're also hearing chatter about the Big Ten moving to a 20-game schedule, I think it is, instead of the current 18.
Yeah, that I am a fan, even though there's malarkey with moving up the Big Ten tournament. I am a fan of getting early Big Ten season games. All right, we mentioned Kevin Anderson in the semifinals tomorrow night at a Grand Slam event, the U.S. Open out in New York. He coached him as an All-American here at the U of I. It's Illinois men's tennis coach Brad Dancer. He joins us now. Brad, before we go any further, I don't think there was any doubt, but it became official today that you have a contract now at the U of I that's extended through 2023. The Board of Trustees met, so congratulations on that, sir.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Obviously, this is an incredible university, and I think that Josh and the whole team and everyone is committed to a great future here. So I'm excited to be a part of it for a little while longer here, at least.
Well, saw you wearing your Illinois loyalty on national TV when Kevin Anderson was up late playing in that quarterfinal on, what was that, Tuesday night or into Wednesday morning. You've got to feel awfully proud that he's now in a semifinal for the first time in his career.
Well, it's funny you use that word, because everybody keeps asking me, and that's really the word I keep saying, is just really proud of him, because I think, you know, we've known Kevin for so long, and it's always been about a vision that he has and the hard work that he puts in, and that's just kind of really, again, all it's been about for him, is just working hard and being dedicated and doing the best he can. So he's kind of that blue collar, fits in really well with the Illinois brand, if you will.
What was the experience like for you in the stands watching him? And I'm sure you've done it before, but how does that compare to when you coach somebody like him on the sidelines?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, he's got a great team around him now and you know, people. And so, you know, I'm really there just for emotional support and trying to, you know, give any insight I can in terms of where I think he needs to be. But, you know, they're obviously taking care of all that. So, you know, the other night was just different because it's 2:30 in the morning and there's not many people left in a 20,000, you know, seat stadium. So it was a little bit surreal just in terms of kind of the emptiness of it. But the people that were there, you can imagine how passionate they were, you know, at that point for one of these guys to get through their first major semifinal.
Brad, this is Marcus. You just mentioned that his first major semifinal, and you heard Chris Fowler and the guys calling the match the other night talking about Kevin a little bit and saying that, you know, something's changed in his career. He's always been physically talented and gifted, but what's changed to allow him to reach this level in his career now?
I think, to be honest, for about 3 years he's probably been playing at this level. And I think that's really credit to his coach Neville and the work that he puts in. So then you kind of have to have the breaks as well. And I think, you know, the reality of the situation is he's beat some good players along the way, but you've got Djokovic out and Murray out and Nishikori out, Wawrinka out, and then Zverev loses to Koric in the second round. So some things, you know, have moved into position for Kevin in this tournament to, you know, to have a good draw. And, you know, I always tell our guys, as you're trying to be a pro, you really have to be opportunistic. You know, you got to show up every day. And if you show up every day, you're going to get those weeks where, you know, you're playing the right people at the right time. And I think Kevin went in that quarterfinal match and, you know, he was 6-8 against Query going into that match. But anytime you've beaten somebody six times, even if you've lost to them, you got to feel a little bit like, hey, I can win this match. So I think he went into that quarterfinal match like, I can win this. So I think he's been at that level for about 3 or 4 years now. And then this is just kind of the pieces falling into place, if you will.
What does it do for him in his career, whether or not he makes it out of the semifinals. Does this mean, I don't know, does it open him up to more endorsements? Does it just mean more attention on him going forward?
I think it's a whole slew of things. You know, number one, it certainly helps with the endorsements for him, which is great. Two, it's just prize money. He's got a big check coming. You know, win or lose, no matter what, he's got a great check coming. And then three, what this does is it's going to move his ranking up substantially. So as he plays the rest of the fall and kind of continues to jump that ranking, when he goes in the Australian Open, for example, in January, he'll be in a better seeded position. And then once you start getting that seeded position, you're more inclined to be able to sort of make that run consistently, as opposed to trying to do it, you know, trying to beat the best players in the world or having to beat a Djokovic or a Federer, Nadal, or in the early rounds or something like that. So this is a big result for him, no question.
Brad, what's it going to take for Kevin going into the semifinal to break through there and get himself into a final?
Yeah, I think, you know, really it's his coach does a great job, but I think that the general game plan, which it typically is with Kevin, is really trying to disrupt the other guy's rhythm. And, it's really changed for Kevin. I was talking to Lauren earlier today and just talking about how Kevin used to kind of have this big serve weapon and any sort of Floyd Mayweather people after that just kind of rope-a-doped and saw what happened. And now he's sort of the opposite. He's almost Mike Tyson out there. He's just kind of coming and hitting knockout blows and never letting you set up, never letting you box, never letting play your rhythm. And I think, you know, I'd be surprised if that's not Neville's main strategy going in this match, is just basically try to disrupt Karina Busta as much as possible and not let him get comfortable out there, because Kevin's a big guy. He hits a big ball. And when he's doing that and sort of on you all the time, it becomes a little bit taxing, not only physically, but also mentally a little bit as well.
Let's, for a moment, I know you have, as a coach and as a player, especially you would say one match at a time, but for us, can we look ahead to if he advances, and let's assume he would take on Rafael Nadal, for argument's sake, what would that matchup be like?
I you know, it's funny, I've always felt it's a good matchup for Kevin. Kevin's never beaten Rafa, but he's had match points. He's had a couple match points before when he played him. I think it's a good matchup because, again, Nadal's big thing that he does is he hits the ball heavy to your backhand and gets it up high. Well, that's a strength of Kevin. You know, he's tall and he likes the ball up there. And so it's kind of like taking Nadal's strength, and Kevin neutralizes it really well. The problem is Nadal brings so many other aspects to it that obviously he's won 15 Grand Slams for a reason. But from a pure tactical matchup, it's not that disruptive to Kevin as it might be to a Federer or somebody else like that. But again, there's all sorts of other intangibles playing Nadal. And then you got the guy that Nadal is playing, which is, you know, he had 105 mile an hour forehand the other night against Federer. So, you know, he's playing some great tennis too.
All right. Well, Kevin, I assume you're headed back out there and enjoy it. And hey, here's a pro tip. Next time you're talking to a high-priced recruit, mention Kevin Anderson, that he went here and you coached him.
You got it, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks,
all right,
Brad.
Hey, we appreciate it. Congratulations, Kevin Anderson. Got some U of I to root for tomorrow night on national TV.
Hey, that was fun. That was fun to watch the other night, and seeing Brad in the crowd with the rest of the folks out there cheering on Kevin Anderson was pretty neat too.
We have a traffic advisory to pass your way. We heard it in the news at the top of the hour, but Illinois State Police are saying please use caution on I-74 westbound. West of Champaign to Mahomet, there is an accident with injuries that is causing a crash on the I-74 westbound lane. So they are diverting traffic around at Prairie View Road. Emergency personnel are on scene, all that. So you want to use a different route if you can. Probably Route 150 would be your best bet instead of I-74. Again, I-74 westbound between Champaign and Mahomet, an accident. You want to take an alternate route. Still to come this hour, we're going to give away some tailgate passes, so stay with us. I'm going to give you a trivia question, too. I'm going to make you work for it a little bit. It has to do with punt returns in honor of Mikey Dudek. And, hey, Labor Day is in the rearview mirror, but they are still celebrating over at Carpet Weavers, now offering 24 months 0% financing store-wide. They have Mohawk flooring, and they're offering huge in-store rebates, like $3 a yard on Mohawk Smart Strand for Everclean carpet. They also have the All Pet Protection, the only carpet warranty for all pets, all accidents, all the time. I could use that. Also receive free carpet installation with purchase of carpet and pad. Check out the choices at Carpet Weaver's Labor Day sales event extending into this week. Rebates, 0% financing, and free carpet installation. Come home to Carpet Weaver's 616 West Market View Drive in Champaign. It's Sports Talk. It's Sports Talk on this Thursday. Scott and Marcus with you until 6 o'clock. Basketball Hall of Fame weekend this weekend, and a couple of Illini connections going into the Hall of Fame. Manny Jackson, of course, the great who played here and did all what he did with the Harlem Globetrotters as well. And Bill Self as well talked with the media. He will be inducted this weekend.
The list of Republicans that signed up.
That's right. Not Bill Self. You probably knew that. Here we go, Mr. Self.
When we all found out, I think in April, I think we were probably all pretty overwhelmed with this, but this really hasn't hit me until we actually got to Springfield and being in this arena and looking around and seeing all the portraits is something that's very humbling, and I certainly feel that inadequate in some ways to be here before you.
That courtesy of Matt Tate of the Journal World.
Saw a story in the Tribune today. Casey Johnson talked to Bill Self about his Illinois stint and leaving Illinois and how that all went down. And he said, I didn't want to leave either. If it was up to him, I think the whole timing of it was all what he had an issue with. He said he didn't want Coach Williams to leave to go to North Carolina. He said if it was 3 years later, it would have been perfect because he felt like he was just starting to get things going in Illinois, and they had a special group, and obviously they did. Group played for the national championship a couple years later, but he said, you know, maybe 3 years later, if Roy leaves and goes to North Carolina, then the Kansas job would have made it been easier for him to do it. But it was a tough call for him, according to what he told Casey Johnson.
Don't tell me that. Yeah. I'd rather him say I wanted out of there, didn't like it, and then we can all just spurn him and have a bad taste about the whole thing. But
it's been a long time.
Yeah.
He wouldn't still be here, basically, is what I'm trying to get at.
Oh, either way is what you're saying.
Unless Roy decided to stay at Kansas forever.
Yeah, that probably wasn't going to happen. But anyway, congratulations to Bill Self, to Manny Jackson. Brad Underwood, saw on Twitter, he's headed out there for the enshrinement ceremony. Jerry Colangelo is presenting, I think, to Manny Jackson. I think he'll be the presenter to it. So it's Illini laden.
A lot of flavor out there. A lot of orange flavor.
That's true. They're all wearing orange jackets, too.
There you go. Perfect.
Very good. Marcus, I came across an article in The Athletic. It was interviewed some Chicago area radio sports hosts about who they get flack as African-American hosts to stick to sports and don't bring up stuff that is outside of sports. And this is all at the same time as, you know, another incident came out. Michael Bennett from the Seattle Seahawks, who's Martellus Bennett's brother, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was held to the ground by police officers who suspected him of being involved in a shooting out in Las Vegas. He was since cleared, of course. But Bennett took to Twitter to voice his displeasure and felt he was profiled racially and says, this is why I sit down at or kneel, whatever he does during national anthems, and I'm taking part of this protest. And the thought occurred to me that, you know, if you are one that wants people to just stick to sports, I'm not sure where sports really is. I understand why we watch sports and why I mean, part of what we love about sports is escapism. Mm-hmm. But I don't see where sports has always been separate from the rest of culture. I think you can go back. It's the edge. It's at the heart of what we are as a country. Mm-hmm. And things that are going on in sports is often a reflection of what's going on in our country.
Yeah, I think where there might be some disconnect is you think back to the 60s and 70s, the athletes, Muhammad Ali and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, those types of guys were very outspoken and vocal about social issues and causes that affected themselves and their communities. And then you get into the Michael Jordan era where those guys didn't want to say anything. They didn't want to mess up their off-the-court money, their endorsement deals and all that stuff. And now you're getting back into another era or generation of athlete who was being more outspoken, and I think maybe there's a certain age or generation of folks who aren't used to that. They're used to the Michael Jordan type of people who aren't going to say anything, so they want it to be that way, but it's not going to be that way. And you know, when you see guys like Michael Bennett and LeBron James has had some things happen to him, when these things are happening to them in their real lives, before anything else, obviously we know them as athletes and as superstars and people who entertain us, but before anything else, they're people, they're men, they're family, their fathers, and even the female athletes, their wives and sisters and daughters and all that stuff too. So I think that I don't think you can completely separate sport from from society and some social issues that you deal with, because when those guys take off the uniform and leave the field, as we saw with Michael Bennett, you're going to be treated just like everybody else is in the community.
From my perspective, I think I could – I almost have the luxury to think that way if I wanted to, because let's say – so you and I – you know, we don't hang out much outside of this, and not because, well, I can't speak for you. I think I would enjoy that. I think I'd instantly bring down the hip factor, but with you and your friends, but I would enjoy hanging out with you, but we don't do that much. Mm-hmm. But the thing is when you leave here and when I leave here, we have different realities and different experiences as a white man and a black man. And I could look at sports as a way to go, I don't want to deal with anything else right now. But that's because I have the luxury of shutting it off and mm-hmm. not engaging with those issues. A guy like Michael Bennett, a guy like yourself, has to look at that every day, has to look at that every hour, every minute sometimes. And so when I hear that kind of thing, it does give me pause, because on this program, what, we have 50 minutes and there's not a lot of time to get into all these kinds of issues. Mm-hmm. And in some ways I say it's I'm not here to have the national conversation. There's other people that can do that a lot better than I can. But I just want to, you know, I don't know if this is the forum for all of that or not, but I do want to recognize that for me, I could just ignore it because I can. Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily a good thing.
Right. And I think more people probably need to understand that and just empathize a little bit. You know, it's one of those things where they immediately want to dismiss, you know, what someone else is dealing with or someone else's issues are, because they don't have to deal with it. I know that. You know, when I leave here, there's certain things. I just think back to growing up, like my friends would do certain things, and I knew that I couldn't do that, because if I got caught doing what they're doing, it's probably going to be a different set of circumstances mm-hmm. or for me. And it's still that way to a certain extent with some things today. But you know, it's hard to escape those things and to get away from them. But I think more than anything, just continue having conversations and bringing things into the consciousness, and maybe some other people will start to listen and understand just try to help out with certain causes.
It, you know, it even comes back to, you know, the issues that are hitting here at home, like with the war chant and everything else. And, you know, I got some pushback from some of you, which is great, which is fine. We welcome that, you know, when this discussion first came out. But that was my encouragement, too, because this was something I didn't do when I was younger, is just stop and listen and try to hear somebody else's experience. And it's not necessarily about changing your mind or changing your opinion, per se, but it is about trying to empathize and understand the other side.
I think the stick to sports people too, that usually comes out when they don't agree with what you're saying. Now, if you're speaking on a social issue or something that they agree with, then they're all for it. You know, they want you to speak about it all day. But if they don't agree necessarily with what you're saying, then that's when they bring out the stick to sports thing.
All right. Well, so we will probably be sticking to sports for the most part. But I just wanted to acknowledge that if for nothing else, you know, not knowing entirely where we are going to go all the time on this program. You know, there's a lot to get into with Illinois and all that's going on. But I want to recognize that there's bigger issues that are going on out there. And, of course, there's issues in sports that are smaller compared to what's going on in the rest of the world. I mean, Florida has canceled their game this weekend, their home game against, I think it was Northern Colorado. They just said, we're not going to do it because of the hurricane. And obviously, there's going to be a lot of problems down in South Florida coming this weekend. So sports is just a small piece sometimes, but it's also a very big piece of who we are and what's going on. All right, what's going on this weekend is Illinois football. Bob Osmussen will check in with us to help us break down what's going on with them and Western Kentucky, rest of the Big Ten. NFL starts tonight as well. I want to give you some tailgate passes as well. Our tailgate opens up at 4:30 ahead of the 7 o'clock kick in Grange Grove. We've got sports talk.
There were too many times where quarterbacks able to step through and run for those first downs. You know, we get teams in those third and long situations, which is what those are situations we want to be in a lot. We get the opponents in those situations. We feel like those are situations where we can win and we have to win. Unfortunately, we weren't able to do that for the most part on Saturday. But then, of course, that's an area of emphasis and we will definitely be working on that.
Hardy Nickerson, Illini defensive coordinator, knows the Illini need to buckle down on third down if they're going to have a chance against the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, 7 p.m. kickoff, Memorial Stadium. Scott Marcus back. Bob Osmussen covers Illinois football, has stepped into the studio for The World According to Bob. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How about you?
I am doing fantastic. We talked yesterday to Western Kentucky's play-by-play man, Randy Lee, and he said folks out there in Bowling Green are a little bit surprised to find that the Hilltoppers are favored by 7.5, 8 points, depending where you look.
They thought it'd be more?
No, they thought it'd be less.
Oh, less. Okay.
I mean, they've never beaten a Big Ten team.
Right, but I think most people look at this game as toss-up, so maybe it was a little high, but it's fine. It doesn't really matter.
What gives you hope for Illinois to win? What gives you hope or concern that Western Kentucky will take it?
I'll tell you something funny. I picked Illinois. Picking Illinois, Marcus knows this, I think, mostly because I think Western Kentucky didn't have a great game first game, and they have new staff, and Illinois has a second-year staff, and there's a big difference there. Mike Sanford is going to do a great job for Western Kentucky, but right now the guys are getting used to him. I talked to his quarterback on Tuesday, Mike White, not the Illinois coach, and he talked about the differences between the staffs. He was great with Jeff Brohm. He likes the new staff, but it's still a different thing. The players are different. The system is different. So it's a problem. So I think give Lovey a chance to get ready for that guy. He'll have a chance. I think Illinois will play pretty well defensively, much better than they did a week ago.
What about Chase? Will he be better?
Yes, he will.
Do you buy it that it was largely nerves?
No, I don't buy that at all. I think it was got to give Ball State a lot of credit for how they played defensively. I think the offensive line for Illinois did not play very well at all. I think I would like to see their grades. I don't think it'd be, maybe Allegretti would be good. Everybody else probably not so good. And hopefully they don't listen to the show because they can all beat me up. They wouldn't do that, but they could. But okay. I really think that no, I don't think it was Chase's nerves. I think it was, I don't have any time. I can't throw the ball when I'm on my back or running for my life. That was hard. So I think he'll do better this week. I think this team is better suited for Chase and for Illinois' offense. They're not as big. There isn't that great player like Anthony Winbush who can chase around the field.
But we hear this a lot. It's one of the cliches in sports, but you make your biggest improvements from week one to week two. Where do you see Illinois making its biggest jump or most improvement from the Ball State game to the Western Kentucky game?
Again, I think offensive line is huge. I think that's where they have to. There were no holes. Kendrick Foster, people talk about Kendrick like he did something wrong. Nobody could have run. Emmitt Smith could not have run through those holes. Nobody could have run those. It was not his fault. It was the way the defense played against them, the way the line blocked. Kendrick Foster will come back and have a better game, but I think the entire offensive line needs to play better. I think they'll be good. I think they'll understand what they did wrong. I heard some yelling during practice this week. I heard some bad words from some of the coaches toward the players. Can you believe that?
Not from a football coach.
It was unreal to me, and there were words I should not hear at a practice, but yet, then again, probably tells me, I think they would know. They know. They look at the film. They know. I'm sure during the game the players realize, boy, we're not really playing very well. We better get it together. And Allegretti is a good leader. He'll bring them together. This is where they missed like a Ted Karras type guy who was so strong as a leader. He could probably yell at those guys in a positive way where they would respond. So here Chase Crouch is going to come together with these guys. He'll get them right. I really think that'll be the case.
The Big Ten won 10 of 12 games in non-conference play last week. The two losses were the same number as opening weekend a year ago, but the difference four FCS teams were on the week one schedule last year, of course, as opposed to the four FBS on the schedule this year. Of course, Maryland upset Texas.
Right.
Big Ten has just two games against FCS opponents this year. That's the fewest in the nation. SEC has 14. The ACC has 13. Pac-12 has 8. Big 12 has 7. Of course, Ohio State is hosting Oklahoma this weekend. Michigan beat Florida. This all adds up to this question. Is the Big Ten really good this year?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Really good. Should have a team in the playoffs, for sure. May have two teams in the playoffs if it breaks right. That'll take some good things happening for the Big Ten. But I think definitely there's going to be one. Right now, I would say definitely the Buckeyes would be the top team for me that would get in the playoffs. But I think Penn State, Wisconsin, Michigan all have a chance. And look at the teams like Maryland playing so well. But I think the Big Ten, you mentioned the FCS thing. I think that's a flaw in the Big Ten. I think go back and play one of those games once a year. Why not? You're going to play, rather than playing a lower-level FBS school, just play FCS school. That's fine. It doesn't hurt me. It doesn't bother me. If Alabama is playing two FCS teams, why shouldn't Illinois? Why shouldn't Michigan?
Iowa is looking a lot better. I mean, obviously, Wisconsin is a top 10 team right now. Iowa has a scary good defense.
Right.
You know, you mentioned Maryland, although they did lose their quarterback for the season.
Right. That's going to hurt.
But, you know, and Penn State could take it out of the East, too. You know, you just don't know. And
I've got four teams from the Big Ten in my top nine. That tells me a lot. I don't ever have four teams from any other conference. So I think the Big Ten's playing well. They got a lot of really good players.
Bob, were you surprised at all, not necessarily that Michigan beat Florida, but how they handled Florida down there?
A little bit, but, of course, Florida was missing a lot of guys, 10 guys. Some very important players. So I think that was a big deal. Michigan is still struggling to find a good quarterback. They don't have one right now. They need to go draft one or sign one or something. Harbaugh can do some tricks there and get the guy out. The other game you didn't mention, Scott, Purdue.
Oh, yeah.
Really could have beaten Louisville. And I knew, I swore that Jeff Brom would win early at Purdue. I think he will. Don't be surprised if they go to bowl this year.
Yeah, I think they... When you looked at the schedule early on for Illinois, you know, I thought, well, there's a chance for a win.
Right.
But I'm not so sure now. You know,
no, I'm not sure.
I think they're vastly improved.
They're vastly improved. Jeff Bond's a great coach. He's going to do great work there. Everybody talked about him. Plus, he's so calm. He's such a good guy. It'd be easy to root for him.
The question is, can Illinois get better enough as the season progresses that somebody might take them for granted? And they'll be actually better because freshmen will improve.
I see it in 2 weeks. I see South Florida thinking they're going to take Illinois easily. I think Illinois will play that game better. I'm not sure the win, but I think that game will be closer than we think right now. South Florida is not as good as we thought. New coaching staff, again, that's a problem. But I think they're going to take it. They're going to go, oh, Illinois, how good are they? And they may get caught.
Bob, we heard Hardy Nickerson on the rejoin there talking about the third down issues, and I was watching that game, and it's like third down was automatic, you know, that Ball State was going to keep the ball and Illinois was going to stay on the field. What's got to happen for them to get off the field?
Well, a lot of things. First of all, more pressure. That's a problem that's been there for a while at Illinois. So you got to get more pressure, whatever that means, be it blitzing, be it linebackers coming, whatever you need to do it. And also, Illinois did this a little bit. Trey Watson did it a lot. Get turnovers. Your team is a lot better off when the defense is taking the ball away. Doesn't make those three and outs quite as important if you get a turnover two, three, four, which is what Levy preaches all the time.
Illinois essentially won two out of the three phases. Even though the defense wasn't good for most of the game,
right.
They got three takeaways if you count the four and out. That Hardy stopping on a fourth down, which Hardy Nickerson says that counts for a takeaway for us.
He's right.
And what, a fumble and an interception. So you win the defensive game, the turnover battle. You win special teams, obviously, with Mikey Dudek and the block punt.
Right.
You didn't really win in offense, but it didn't matter because he won two out of three. That's Lovey's style. That's what he did in Chicago.
Yes, I agree completely. I think people need to get used to this. The offense is not always going to look pretty. I think as they go forward, they'll get better players. They run this kind of system they want to run. They'll look better. But right now, it's win ugly is fine. These guys, if they win this game this week by 3 points, how happy do you think they'll be? Pretty darn happy.
What's your prediction?
I think I had 35-31 Illinois over Washington. No, 38-35 Illinois.
Sure.
By a Chase McLaughlin field goal at the
end? A blocked punt again or blocked field goal, one of those things. Illinois is going to win a close game. Again, I think Western Kentucky is a little bit overrated.
By the way, speaking of blocked punts, South Florida's had two of them blocked this year already.
Yeah, I don't buy them yet. They've got a great quarterback. But
no, I'm saying they've been blocked.
I know
twice.
I'm saying. Yeah. I think they're going to have some issues against Illinois.
We'll see how this hurricane factors in because the hurricane should – hopefully be through but by the time it's a week from tonight or a week from tomorrow night, but the repercussions of it all, we'll see
right,
if it affects Illinois football. And of course at that point it's very small compared to what everyone else will be dealing with. So all right, any what is the other one Big Ten game that is a must watch for you this weekend?
Oh, easy. Ohio State, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Two of my top four teams in the country right now. The winner is in great shape for the playoffs. The loser still got a chance. Probably Oklahoma, they lose their buyout because their conference is not very good.
I want to give you a chance to go to our tailgate at Grange Grove ahead of the ball game. It opens up at 4:30. I've got four passes. The trick here is you got to use them, and you don't have to have a ticket to the game to go to the tailgate. You can go to the tailgate and just enjoy that, but you got to be able to use them, obviously, and pick them up tomorrow during business hours. So the first one in with the right answer to this trivia question. Mikey Dudek had a 52-yard punt return in the ball game on Saturday. It was actually the 26th longest in Illinois history. Who holds the record for the longest two punt returns? He also holds the records for career single season and single game punt return averages. I'll give you a hint. He's not played recently, but he's a very well-known name in Illinois athletic history. First caller gets our four tickets to the tailgate. You call us at 356-9397. The record holder for career single season, single game punt return averages and the two longest punt returns, not kickoff, punt returns in Illinois history. Bob, thanks much.
Thank you.
Back after this.
What would be a successful season for the Fighting Illini football team? I'm Jason Gotch, and the Gotch Files are next. I'm Jason Gotch with the Gotch Files. It's the second season for Lovie Smith leading the Illini football program. Year one was a downer, with Illinois winning only three games. After a less-than-inspiring Week 1 home victory over Ball State, what would make this a successful Illini football season? Considering this is a rebuilding job in Champaign and Smith didn't inherit a program in good shape, I think 6-6 would be a worthy accomplishment. Plus, six victories for a Big Ten team almost always means a bowl berth. But I'm not sure six wins are realistic. The Illini still need to get better on both offense and defense. A bright spot is that even though the Big Ten has moved to a 9-game conference schedule, it's manageable this year. The Illini don't play Michigan or Penn State and have games against Rutgers, Minnesota, Indiana, and Purdue. Regardless, Smith will get a pass this season. It's next season, in year three, that greater results will be expected. With another installment of the Gotch Files, I'm Jason Gotch.
Congratulations to our winner in our tailgate giveaway trivia. Jim Liggett of Urbana knew that the single season, single game, and career punt return average record holder is Dyke Edelman, who also had the two longest punt returns in Illinois history. He had, where did it go? Well, career punt return average 21.5. And the two longest punt returns of 92 and 89 yards back in the 1947 season.
Not supposed to catch a ball inside your 10, Dyke.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Poison. Now, Red Grange is up there in the kickoff return category. A couple of you guessed that. Somebody guessed Dick Butkus. I don't think he was a punt returner.
Nah, he was just knocking people out. I watched a Dick Butkus highlight tape before one of my high school football games, and I was still playing safety. And like, that fired me up, and I went out and I hit a couple people like Dick Butkus did, and that was...
He really used the shoulder, didn't he?
He used it all. Yeah, but a lot of shoulder, and just a big, strong, mean dude.
He will be inducted into the Illinois Hall of Fame officially in a couple of weeks on campus. The 23rd of September will be the official induction ceremony. There's no football game that day. So I think there's an event Friday night before, if I remember right, and then they're having a ceremony at the State Farm Center. Him and several others will be there. All right, that'll about do it. Marcus, I know you're going to have a weekend of golf, so enjoy it.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Hit them straight.
All right.
Don't worry about far. Just hit it straight.
Hey, have fun at volleyball tomorrow night.
We are looking forward to it. Yes, special broadcast tomorrow night from Huff Hall. We'll talk with Kevin Hambley as he returns to U of I for the first time since leaving. Chris Thomas, current head volleyball coach, will be our guest as well. Dave Lone will be in there. I think Don Harden's going to check in as well. That'll be a volleyball special program tomorrow night. We'll get some other things in there as well. Thanks to Brad Dancer. Good luck to Kevin Anderson tomorrow night in the U.S. Open semifinals. Bob Osmussen stopped by as well. Thanks to you for listening. Tamara McDaniel, our producer engineer in the control room tonight. And Ed Bond is our chief engineer. Thanks to all of you. Have a good evening. It's News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station. Time at the tone is 6 o'clock. Good night.